I think it's time to start introducing this man, which is a year after I intended to introduce him. He was supposed to perform at last year's conference and was indisposed. So finally, he's back with us. He is a singer, songwriter, solo artist, one half of the Las Vegas Rock and Roll Hall of Famers folk rock duo Batdorf and Rodney, who I remember having great album covers when I was a kid. Also a successful film and TV composer, session vocalist, inspirational musician in the substance recovery community. And back in the 70s, he was in a group called Silver. Silver had a national number 16 hit song, Wham Bam, in 1976. That hit song reappeared 41 years later in the hit movie and soundtrack Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I love those movies. He says he recorded his first record at the age of 18 at Muscle Shoals Sound. It was a dream come true. He performed at Carnegie Hall as Batdorf and Rodney at the age of 20. Having America record one of his songs was awesome. And mostly the fact, he says, quote, mostly the fact that I'm still living the dream of a 12-year-old kid who saw the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show and said to himself, that's what I want to do when I grow up. He is doing it. John Batdorf.
Hello. And that's true. I was a kid. I was 12 years old. And I was stricken by a bad leg disease. And I wanted to be a baseball player when I grew up. And I got sick. I was laying in a cast. And we had a TV that was on three channels. And the remote control was my brothers and sisters because I couldn't get up. And the Beatles were on the Ed Sullivan Show. And it was so remarkable for me. And I thought, wow, I'd rather do this than play baseball. So I got to do it, and here I am, 66, and still singing and playing. Thank you. So I'm going to start with a song that was inspired by that very day, and it's called Beep Beep. I got the fever back in 64. Ain't felt nothing like it since, nothing like it before. That night when Lennon sang Twist and Shout, we knew what the Beatles were all about. They wrote songs that made us feel so fine. We heard them singing, and that just blew our minds. Saw that night, we let go and they sang Hold Me Tight. These boys could write, these boys could sing, these boys could play almost everything. They'd sing their songs that made the young girls scream and cry. So all the boys bought a guitar and tried to sing real high. Beep, 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 yeah. Thank you very much. So my wife and I drove down from our new home in Oregon so I could bring my second guitar. And We moved there 3 years ago, and just celebrated our 45th wedding anniversary. And she is celebrating her first Far West, so pretty cool. So we have our kids and grandchildren here, still in Chatsworth. And we normally fly down, but I had to bring my other guitar. You know, this is kind of more on the dream thing about seeing stuff that you want to be when you grow up. And for me, it was the Beatles. And, you know, I had a big bucket list, and I've reached most of those things. But the only thing I'm not going to be able to do is be on the Ed Sullivan Show, I don't think. I don't think it's going to happen. So this is another song about dreams. And, you know, we all have dreams when we're young, and sometimes we just kind of let them go. And they bury themselves, but they're always still there, and we can always go back and revisit them. This is called Don't Give Up on Dreams. I've been looking for a reason to rise each day. Something worth believing to get me on my way. Try to find some inspiration day and night. Trying so hard to keep from wasting this part of my life. Then a momentary but extraordinary thought came also very strong to me, that I might try digging up some dreams that I had buried. When I gave up on dreams, when I gave up on dreams, spent a lot of time chasing that elusive dream career. I was always racing to get richer every year. Dreams about the legacy I'd leave this world, right beside the dream about a true and perfect girl. She'd be a luminary, and someday we would marry, and her light would carry me for years. And that dream came true until the day she slipped away then. Well, I gave up on dreams. The only dreams I had worth dreaming were with that woman by my side. I thought if I gave up on dreams, my up each day, something worth believing to get me on my way. Funny that it shined a light subconsciously, 'cause she appeared in a dream last night and said to me, oh my love, don't give up on dreams just because it seems you're all alone and I'm not there. Since our only time together's when you're dreaming, don't give up on dreams. Thank you very much. What's so great, you know, when I moved away, I left a lot of friends. And a lot of them are here, and it's really great to see them and hang out with them. And what else am I going to do? I was going to be at Far West 2 years ago up in Washington, and I got sick, unfortunately, and couldn't make it. But I made it this year, and very happy to be back. As a matter of fact, it was 2004 when James Lee Stanley and I made a record together called All Woods and Stones. And he said, wanted to know if I wanted to play it at Folk Alliance. And I didn't even know what Folk Alliance was because I'd been doing TV work for so many years. And so we came and played a couple of songs, and it was right in this very hotel, if I'm not mistaken. And that's where I first met Loan and Navarro, and that's when Eric was just starting to walk on his cane. And it's been great to meet so many great people at these conferences. I go to all of them all over the United States, and they're all great. They're all different, and they're all just cool. So one of the projects I do is with my friend Michael McLean. A few years back, we put out an album called Soundtracks Recovery. It was inspired by my son, who had become a meth addict. And nothing was working. We were trying to reach him. So just on a whim, we decided to write a song and see if that could penetrate the wall that had been there for quite a few years. So we wrote a song called I Don't Always Win. And it was the first time, when I played it for him, it was the first time there was a little break in that defense mechanism that was been there for so many years. So eventually he got clean and sober, and we thought this was such a miraculous thing to happen to him, and there had to be other people that this could affect, because music is such a powerful healer, and us songwriters are so lucky to be given these great ideas to write songs, and it's important that we use them in important ways. So we made this record called Soundtracks Recovery, and initially it was going to be 12 songs for 12 steps. But Michael McLean and myself are not addicts, but we are recovering perfectionists, and ended up with 17 songs on the album. We thought there were a few alternate things we should talk about. So we ended up making this record, and it's been really a fantastic thing. And Michael McLean and myself met some 20-some years ago. We had no idea why we were writing songs, and eventually we figured out we were writing songs for this project. We just didn't know it. So we made the record. It was important to start a song with, or start the record with a song that is about music and how powerful I think it is, and how us songwriters, we don't really own the songs. We get to hear them first, and then we get to share them with everybody else. And in my life, music has been more than just putting on headphones and listening and smiling and laughing. It's gotten me through a lot of tough times. And so I wrote the song, which is really a kind of about that whole process, and it's called Ain't Dead Yet. I play guitar, I like that best. I'm not a star, oh, but I've been blessed. I sing real high, that pays the rent. Some days I wonder why am I this guy, and what has all this meant? I share these tunes straight from the heart, and pretty soon, you know your part. In the refrain or in the verse, these aren't just my songs, I'm passing them along because I heard them first. So when your soul needs fixing and your life's a contradiction and you're burning down like a cigarette, I've got songs for addiction or any old affliction, some tunes to help you with your regret. What to remember, what to forget, 'cause you ain't dead yet. We ain't dead yet. think I'm here for something more. It's not to stay here, this ship to shore, or rescue those who'd rather leave. 'Cause I'm part of this crew, I'm in this boat with you, 'cause I've always believed that when your soul needs fixing and your life's a contradiction and you're burning down like a cigarette, I've got songs for addiction or any old affliction, some tunes to help you with your regret. What to remember, what to forget, 'cause you ain't dead yet. A contradiction, and I'm burning down like a cigarette. I've got songs for addiction or any old affliction, some tunes to help me with my regret. What to remember, what to forget, so if you get that feeling when you hear me singing, we're not strangers but friends that haven't met. Well, it's the same back at you. I hope I'm gonna catch you humming along throughout my set. This is my intro to what you get, 'cause you ain't dead yet. No, you ain't dead yet. No, you ain't dead yet. No, you ain't dead yet. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you, thank you. I don't know how much time I have left. I don't want to. I know people got to get up to their rooms and stuff. So, I did want to thank you guys for doing this. This is so great. The people that do this as volunteers are so fantastic, and the people that host the house concerts, like Russ and Julie, and all the other people that do it. But Steve Brogdon, who is starting to catch good fish now that I've left town. Peter Krantz, I mean, all the folks that do this and help support us, give us a place to play, we really appreciate it, and we thank you very much. So I remember when I moved, I left my house when I was 15 years old in Beaver Creek, Ohio. I went out with a band to California. And I was supposed to come back and go to my sophomore year at Beaver Creek, Ohio. And when I got to California, in Los Angeles, and I thought, you know, I can't ever go back there because this new place, this is where I belong. And it was a place that felt like it was a home to me. And even though it was big and a lot bigger than Beaver Creek, a lot bigger, but there was so much great music at the time, and so here I am, 15 years old, telling my mother that I was going to school, because the band broke up after 3 months, but I said I wasn't going to go back, but I promised to go to school, and eat well, and live in a really great place, and none of that was actually true. But I was finding my way through life. And 3 years later, I met a guy, Mark Rodney, in Las Vegas, because I was there on hiatus from L.A., and he was there on hiatus from L.A., go figure. And we met at a coffee shop at the university. And he was a really geeky-looking guy. I mean, he still is, actually, but... He was geekier looking then, and he kept coming to my sets because I played 4 or 5 sets a night, and he kept saying he's always kind of screwing with his hair. He's like, kind of like the Wolfman. Hey, I want to jam with you, man. And I really kind of didn't want to jam with him. He was kind of frightening, and I said, well, I don't really want to be in a band anymore. I said, I kind of like doing this thing by myself, and so he just kept insisting and insisting. So finally I said, okay, let's jam. So in the last set, he came up on stage, and we started playing Down by the River. And we started playing guitar solos back and forth. And I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. So we kept kind of doing it, and then we started working on all my originals. And a couple months later, we ended up driving down to Los Angeles and auditioned for Ahmet Erdogan, who was the president of Atlantic Records. And we auditioned at the Beverly Hills Hotel. And we started playing a song called Oh My Surprise, and he actually jumped up. Here's this mogul that owns Atlantic Records saying, I want to sign you, I want to take you to Muscle Shoals and make a record. We thought, wow, that's pretty cool. It's Ahmet. And we didn't know where Muscle Shoals was. There was a place in California called Muscle Shoals. That's where we thought we were going to go. But it turned out to be in Alabama. And what a cool thing for two kids that, we're just stoner musicians, and to go down there and play with these guys that were so stinking good, and they could play with anybody. All you had to do was show them the song, and Mark and I were in this little isolation booth, we had a bass player, a drummer, and a piano player, Barry Beckett, Dave Hood, and Roger Hawkins, and it was just great. And all the takes were either the first take or second take, they were that good, and it was just fantastic. So we made this first record called Off the Shelf, and it did well enough for us to get a chance to do another record. And so I had to start writing songs, and we went on a big tour with Bread, which is great, all over the United States, and they were huge at the time. And so I thought, well, I got to start writing songs. And I was sitting on this front porch in Los Angeles. All these guys lived in a band house. We were like 18, 19 years old. And somehow living in a band house at age 66 doesn't seem quite as charming as it was then. But it was charming then, though. But all we did was do music. And so I sat on the front porch, and I would get ideas. And I'd been out on the road for several months, and I just, it really felt great to be home again. And here I was in L.A., and I got a record deal, I'm on the radio, and it was fantastic. So I wrote a song that I'm going to finish the show with here. And it's funny, I lived here like 45 years and loved it here. And a few years back, my wife and I just thought it was time to look around someplace else because things had changed so much. So we went up and visited Central Oregon, and we found our new home again. And it's a great feeling when you find that spot, because you can't fake it. It's the way it is. Oh, you know what?
You gotta plug in.
That's a good idea. I was just seeing if you were paying attention, Eileen.
We're waiting.
I was just testing you.
Yeah.
All right. But hey, thanks to Bill. I mean, I know this is a very tough room to do, and thank you very much. I think Arlene has helped you this tonight. She did a great job today. So anyway, thank you for supporting all these acts. And there are some unbelievably great acts playing upstairs tonight that aren't on the main stage. So do not miss those acts. They should be here too. Everyone's worthy of being up here. So go in every room and check out these people, whether you heard them or not. They're really great. And that's what we did last night. And so I want to thank you and end with a song that I recorded in 1972. And ended up re-recording it when I started recording again in 2006. And thank you very much.
underneath an old tree. Clearing up what once was cloudy, knowing most of all I'm happy. All my life, you helped me find the way. I am home again. Instead of chasing, time to slow down, no more racing. Spend some life at home, embracing. I've waited for this day. I am home again. Ooh, ooh. All my life, you helped me find the way. I am home again. Ooh, singing, music plays in harmony. Everything around is ringing. Oh, happiness at last found me. Happiness at last found me. At last found me. Whoa. Happiness at last found me. Oh, 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 yeah. All my life, I've waited for this day. I am home again. Ooh, ooh. All my life, you helped me find the way. I am home again.
Thank you very much.